band is a lifestyle. It's a real commitment. If you're going to be a musician, you're going to put in a lot of hours. You're going to put in a lot of time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the stage. I'm your host, Ken Burke, and our guest today is Sean King. Sean is the executive director of U.S. Bands, an organization that he's been with for 27 years. And as a former director of marketing and communications, a founder of an ad agency, and someone who continuously empowers arts across the nation, we are in store for a lively discussion today. Sean, thanks for joining the show today, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good, Ken. I was trying to think if that was actually me you were describing or somebody else, but some of it rang true, so it's all good.
Yeah, absolutely. It's gonna be fun conversation for sure. But I want to start off going back to your background. As a child, what did you want to be when you grew up, and how did you get to where you are now?
Well, goodness gracious, I would say I'm doing exactly what I wanted to do when I was 5, 6, 7 years old. And I know that sounds kind of remarkable or ridiculous, depending on how you want to look at it. But, origin story, if you will, actually starts with my dad, who was a Marine Corps veteran and was driving home one day and heard about a marching band competition or a drum and bugle corps competition in the Allentown, Pennsylvania area. And he took my mom to it and my sister, and it was 1960. I came along in 1968 and kind of just grew up around it. Never, always marched in high school marching band, junior high school, all that stuff. Never marched in drum corps or any of those particular things, but just kind of grew up around it. And I still remember being, other kids were kind of tracking sports heroes and batting averages and touchdowns and all that stuff. And, I'd be like sitting down, typing up repertoires for a DCI course, when I was like 6, 8, 10, 12 wow. years old. So I was a little bit of a nerd. Started playing percussion when I was around that same age. About, I think my first lesson was like 7 or 8. And, just became a marching band guy, as you had mentioned in the intro, I was ready to go to music school, ready to be a music education major, but something in my brain just didn't connect. That was where I needed to be. I've always had an entrepreneurial mindset, and kind of got together with some friends when we were 20 and started an advertising agency. Which kind of introduced me to all of that work that I was doing when I was young. Did a project for Drum Corps International, and that got me noticed by a few other folks. Started doing a lot of PR and marketing around the country for the DCI activity, which then led to my introduction to, at that point, it was the U.S. Scholastic Band Association, USSBA, back in 1997. And, we've kind of been with that ever since, in and out, different versions. Like you said, I've been on the marketing team, sponsorship team, doing things along that line. Had a stint 2008 through 2010 where I was the executive director. Saw them through a good period of growth, and then went back into marketing as social media started to dominate, the world, and sponsorships got to be more important, and those kind of strategic partnerships. So did that for a little while, and then kind of took the reins over in 2020 and have been here since.
Mm. Wow. What a background. That's crazy. All the things that you've done, especially, as starting when you were 5 or 6, That's so cool.
Well, really quick story. My grandparents lived on a street that was across from the high school. And we had a 250 member high school marching band, and they used to do their summer band practice on that street doing parade formations up and down for, I still can recall that like it was yesterday when I was like in elementary school watching that going, well, someday I might do that. Someday I want to do that. And it's just, I don't know whether it's genetic. I don't know whether it's, you're just around it for so long, but, you know, you become fortunate enough here now to be able to give back to the activity and hopefully give the same experiences to young people, this generation, the next generation to come that we were able to have, fortunate to have.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, going off of that, you've had, like you said, you have had years of experience. And I think, you know, this begs the question of asking you, why should people care about bands across America?
Well, you know, I think it's one of those things. We call it band. We kind of go by the mantra of band is a lifestyle. It's a real commitment. You know, if you're going to be a musician, you're going to put in a lot of hours. You're going to put in a lot of time where you're rehearsing by yourself, where you're, you know, just working. You know, I'm not suggesting you're Tiger Woods 10,000 hours. You know, but you know, to make a noise, to make a squeak, you know, come out of the clarinet and turn that into being able to play, you know, play music with others. You know, it takes all of those skills that, you know, we see so much in the sports world and, you know, the stick and ball sports and, you know, obviously running and track and field and all those things. There's a commitment, that, you know, not everybody has that skill set. And, you know, what really takes your breath away is when there's somebody who has God-given talent and then is able to refine it into another level with performing with others. It truly, you know, gives that feeling of inspiration and hope and aspiration that, you know, people can find their own voice. And I think that's one of the things, you know, we believe everybody has a story and however they tell their story, you know, whether it's in color guard and dance, or if they're through musicians or musicianship or singing, you know, there's so many different aspects to how young people can connect and how they can tell their story. And, you know, it's great to see kids engaged and not necessarily their noses in their phones. And, you know, being able to have that sense of camaraderie. You know, I was fortunate enough while my son was in band, I was a band booster president for a couple of years, and getting to meet the kids and see them blossom, see them grow as a team, you know, communicate with one another. It's a big family. And sometimes, you know, family isn't all it's cracked up to be, you know, but, you know, you get to hang out with your friends, you get to play with play music with friends. And we would ask them, what are their favorite things about band? Sure, it's about the music, but it's also about the bus rides. It's also mm-hmm. about the band trips. It's also about the other stuff that made them feel like they belonged.
Yeah, that's U.S. bands and the NFHS align with that so well, just giving high school students and, you know, interscholastic students an opportunity and a voice to express themselves through music, speech, debate, theater, and all the sports that there are. And, you know, we are so excited at the NFHS because U.S. bands and us are, you know, you are a founding official corporate partner of the NFHS Performing Arts Department. So, going more towards U.S. bands as an organization, what is the mission of U.S. bands?
So as stated, it's to support the development of young people into magnificent human beings through their participation in the marching or pageantry arts, musical arts. So, you know, that's the by book definition, you know, of our mission. But it's really to be able to take music as the tool and the platform for which music educators and everyone that surrounds them, whether the designers, instructors, parents, you know, people that support system that makes performing arts and makes you know, participation so possible. Our goal there is to be able to create that platform so that those life skills, those life lessons of hard work, perseverance, determination, resilience, you know, kind of comes through. So it's that same, you know, if I go back to, you know, being able to provide experiences in the same way of that athletes get that support, we want to be able to support their coaches, right? The music coaches, which are the music educators, to be able to allow them to blossom and grow and flourish and move on. We know how important music education is, and participation in music is to an overall holistic education, more likely to graduate, more likely to go on to secondary school, less likely to do drugs and alcohol, less likely to get into trouble. You know, all of those things that come with being a part of the dedication, hard work, commitment, perseverance of being a musician, of being a member of a 20 member band or a 200 member band. You know, you feel like you're important. And if we're aligned with our mission, and that is to support all students in their passions, then, you know, that magnificence that we aspire to is going to become a reality.
What is your goal? What are your goals for increasing participation levels, especially at the base level?
Well, you know, I think that's one of the things, you know, you can look at it in the sports world. You can also look at it through our perspective, our lens, that there are very high performing elite groups, right? Just as there are in any activity. But there's also, you know, a pyramid effect, right? Participation is where we believe we're strongest, and that is participation at any level. Our entire judging philosophy is based on adjudicating what is on the field in front of us at that given time. There are backstories that go into all sorts of different things, whether it's resources or whether it's support from administration, you know, whether it's rural or inner city, or, you know, just you can kind of slice it at however you look. But what we want to do is be able to adjudicate those groups and on both their on their size, you know, so that we're not necessarily putting big bands versus small bands, and then that we're also adjudicating them on the level of achievement. So there are some that are, you know, we can name them off the top of our heads that have 10, 20, 30 years of successful marching band history, legacy. And there are others where band directors just walked in and said, here are the keys, make it happen, you know. And we try to put people into those that if they do choose to compete, they're going to compete against groups that are of like size and achievement. If they choose not to compete, we can still provide them with the assessment and the feedback and the commentary that they need to be able to improve their program, coming from somebody, you know, who's a skilled and credentialed professional adjudicator. So, you know, the way that we approach all of this is to be as inclusive and supportive of no matter what genre they bring to the field. Could be traditional show style, which is, you know, HBCU based, very entertainment based, lots of dancing, lots of different interpretations of the music. You know, on to you know, we're starting to do a lot of work in the modern music world, in the popular music world. It's becoming a growing entity, you know, across the country in school districts that might not have the means or the resources to put together, you know, a 50 member or 150 member marching band, but they can certainly give the kids an opportunity to perform at, you know, in a small jazz band, in a small popular music group. But those students all have a chance to participate, be evaluated, and be able to kind of walk away from their performance, giving them a showcase where they might not have that in other ways.
One thing that you hit on earlier was that, you know, people that participate in band or music or anything like that, they have a significant less likely of a chance of, you know, not participating in drugs or criminal activities or things like that. As someone that is, you know, you are in it every single day, why is band so beneficial of, you know, keeping kids out of criminal activities and just out of trouble, I should say?
Well, I think most of the studies show that the most times when kids are going to get in trouble is right after school. Yeah. Right. You know, because they don't have somewhere to belong. They have, you know, and it same can probably be said for, and most definitely can be said for sports and athletics, that if you're finishing school and you're going off to a job, you know, you're going to slide right off into that. If you're You know, if you're pursuing something in academics and it's, you know, it's debate or it's, you know, something like that, you feel like you belong. And it's the same thing here with music education. There are so many opportunities for kids to jump off the tracks, and it's not to say that they don't, but the vast majority of music students, especially when it's you're in the middle of the football season, and if your band does compete or participate on the fall, you're doing a rehearsal maybe one or two nights a week. You're getting on the bus. You're doing a football game. You're going to a parade. You're going to, you know, a competition or an exhibition somewhere. There's not a lot of time, you know, and you know, I think it speaks volumes to the music education community that's out there, that they provide that support and they give that extra hours, you know, past the final bell ringing of the day, to have ensemble rehearsals or sectionals or, you know, just pick however, you know, music education happens in your community. I think the other side to it is that they not only do they have a place or something to do and a place to do it in, but you have that inner network, that family that I was talking about. And, you know, sometimes you have your own family, but that's not going so well, and you're not really anxious to go home to either an empty house, or you're not getting along with your brother or sister or sibling or something, or, you know, something, you know, just not askew, but you can be with your friends and you can hang out in the band room. I think every band director that hears this or that has spent a year in a school knows that the band room is the place where the band kids hang out, right? And you know, it becomes their clubhouse. It becomes, you know, their locker room. It becomes their weight room. It becomes, you know, like where they go, especially if they don't feel like they belong or if they don't feel like they connect with other people in their school. They might get through with that academic day and say, boy, it's a relief now I can go. And, you know, some kids are over the top and they rehearse, you know, in that free time, but others, they can, you know, as long as the band director's there and somebody's overseeing them, it's a chance for them to kind of feel like they're connected and they belong to that bigger family. And I think it's both things. I think it's something to work on and some place to do it, as well as just the social aspect of it, that they can be there with their friends.
Yeah, that's a very fascinating. I learned that a couple months ago, that it's a less likely of a chance that they will get involved in those things. And can you share some success stories or, you know, memorable moments that highlight the impact that U.S. bands has had on participating ensembles?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's almost, you know, which avenue do we want to take? I know we're fortunate enough to work with some of the major NFL teams in the country and their stadiums. And one particular, we've had a long relationship, at least since they opened at MetLife Stadium in New York. Prior to that, we actually got started. Our first event ever was in 1988 at Giants Stadium, and we had 24 bands show up, and it was like, well, we might be onto something here. And I wasn't there for that original one, but I've seen videos of it. It does exist. and here I am, you know, 30, 35, 36 years later, we're still talking about it. So it's a good thing. But there are band directors that they program one event a year, and that's to bring their band to MetLife Stadium. And they do their parades and they do their community work. They may play, you know, they'll play a halftime show at the football games, but they have an opportunity to play on the same field that Taylor Swift plays on and that the Giants and the Jets play on, which some years that's good and some years not so good, but, you know, pick your favorite team. You know, they're going to be there. The Super Bowl was there, right? We're crazy fortunate that the World Cup is going to be there in a couple of years. So, you know, the entire world is going to be focused on a stadium where we're going to have a band show, right? And we've been incredibly fortunate working with their team there, that we actually get the demand is so high for participation there. We actually do 3 days of events. One in October and two in November. And there's band director comes to mind all the time. You know, he's like, he walks out of the tunnel. He sees his kids see themselves on the big screen the Jumbotron. And he goes, that's why I do this. And that's why they do this, because they know they're going to have this moment, you know, and they work 364 days a year to be able to take the field. And, you know, some of them probably don't even play a note because they can't breathe because they're so like impacted by that. But they have a memory that's going to stick with them forever. And then that's going to generate the next story, right? The next thing that happens. If I can go real quickly back to the pandemic, which not most people have good stories that come out of 2020, but it was our first year of reorganizing and rebooting and resetting for what we see as what we've been calling US Bands 2.0. And you know, we were fortunate to have a partner in the video space, and we said, what if we did virtual band competitions? Well, could we? We don't know, right? It was August, September. Schools weren't in session, but the bands were still getting together. Some schools were in session, some weren't, but the bands needed something to do. So we put together a series of weekly contests that where the bands could perform, submit a video. We had them set up by classification. And then we would have adjudicators who would look at every video and judge them just as they would judge a regular competition, and provide commentary, feedback. Here's skills that you need to be working on. Here's how you can improve, so on and so forth. And, you know, I think we wound up somewhere near 130 groups had submitted videos over the, and it was coast to coast. There was no affiliation. It was just, send in your video and, you know, we're going to do this for you. And hopefully this all works out. And it did. And we got a couple of notes at the end of that that said, you know, essentially, thank you for doing this, because not only did it give our students an opportunity to do something that was normal and that we could rehearse and we could get better and we could do all the things that we would normally do, but the administration was searching for anything that would keep the kids engaged and at the same time keep the music programs. And we had two directors call it out specifically, saying they were going to shut down the program if we didn't have something to do. You guys gave us something to do. And I think in all of that, that's the ability to look at a show style band, the ability to look at popular music, the ability to look at pep bands, which is another thing that we're looking into, the ability to have what we call regional A bands, smaller, you know, not fully fully underwritten, fully resourced, you know, on up to the top bands in the land, can come to US Bands and get an experience. Their kids are going to walk away feeling like there's something that they've accomplished. And we've been able to move music education forward. And if we can do that, and we continue to build our community and grow our community, it's going to be a tremendous story long term.
Yeah, that's incredible and so impactful, because 2020 was such a, you know, tough year, a hard year for so many people, and having that opportunity, I'm sure, for those students was so incredible. Take me through that collaboration with those students, and as a, you know, the executive director of US Bands, how do you collaborate and make, you know, impacts for students and directors and ensembles throughout the nation?
Well, I think it's that same thing. It's our number one goal is to help, and that could be their personal goals. It could be the goals for the program. It could be the goals for the students. It could be whatever. And with that as our guiding principle, and knowing that all of the other things that go into that, whether it's health and wellness, safety, you know, all of the things that NFHS is really on the forefront of, and we're so excited to be partnering with you on that, to be able to bring, you know, our practical real world experience and merge it with all of the research and data and analysis and everything that you folks have been able to build over a long period of time. We're just over the moon about the potential there, because, you know, when it comes down to it, we want to be partners with those band directors. And, you know, some don't necessarily want to win, you know, the be all end all, you know, grand galactic championship. It's not in their DNA. It's not in their programming, but they really want to have a solid program. They really want to give their kids a good experience. they want to show up to an event and feel like they're going to be taken care of and that all the easy questions are answered. And that's why, you know, there's really not another organization in the country that I know of, or maybe, I guess, on the planet, to be humble, that does what we do, you know, to the level that we do it. We're going to be doing 200 events between U.S. bands, Western Band Association, which is a partner with us, the Mid-Atlantic Indoor Network, which does indoor color guard on the East Coast, newfound relationships, partnerships with NFHS and others that, you know, to be able to do an event that's pretty much going to be the same over and over and over again. And that there's a sense of quality and excellence that's built into each one of those events. That's our goal. And if we meet our goal, then we know it's going to be that much easier to work with that band director on their goals. And, you know, it could be, you know, in Texas, you know, it could be their UIL rating. So what do they need? Do they need commentary? Do they need feedback? Do they need clinics? You know, we've built a series of early season clinics with in different areas of the country. We're just now launching them in California this year. So we do them in California, Texas, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Massachusetts, where early season you can come and essentially workshop your show and get feedback from the adjudication community, but not necessarily a score. Just like, hey, here's some things you should look at. Here's some things that are going to make your program better for the long haul. You know, and each state in the nation, almost, and many states are really sub-states. You know, four areas in Texas where there are regional idiosyncrasies, you know, that things are important in some areas and maybe not quite as important in others. And we try and cater that. And that's why we have a team. We now have a team of 10 full-time employees, and then we have, you know, a couple hundred other adjuncts, you know, that work throughout the year to be able to deliver that sense of continuity, the sense of commitment to excellence that you're going to get. You're going to get what's going to allow you to reach your goals. And at the end of the year, if you look back and you say, hey, U.S. bands did everything that they could, and here are a couple of ideas how, you know, you could help me next year, we're going to listen to that. And we are definitely a bottom up listening to the community rather than we believe like this is how we want to do things. Here, you know, follow our rules. We have very few rules because, you know, each program is different. Each band shows up at the gate with a different backstory, with a different goal in mind, with something else that they're working towards. And we're going to try and customize their experience as best as we can.
Yeah. Wow, Sean, this has been so insightful for me. I had one last question, kind of just like a softball question that I know you're going to knock out of the park. What was your favorite activity in high school, and how formative was that for you now?
Yeah, well, it wasn't softball, but it was band, you know, and it's one of those things I think has started off the conversation at the top that everybody that I've ever met in this activity, no matter if they were Hall of Famers, or designers, or educators, adjudicators, volunteers, you know, booster parents, everybody believes that students come first, and that something in their life created an experience for them that they want to either pass on or make it better for the next generation. And that for lack of anything better, I'm a living embodiment of that. You know, I had great experiences in high school. The band kind of dominated, you know, the school. We had good athletic programs and all of those things. But if you weren't a member of the band, everybody was like, oh, you're in the band, you're good. You know, it's all good. We had like 200 in the band. It was, you know, you had your own ecosystem, you know, of everything that was going on. And we did great trips and we made great friends and great memories. And if you take that and you go like, there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of kids that deserve that same experience this year, next year, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. So what can we do to put things in place so that they can walk through MetLife Stadium, they can walk into the gates of SoFi Stadium in LA or AT&T Stadium in Dallas, or they can just go to their local college or high school where we're hosting an event and feel like for that, you know, whatever, give or take 7 minutes, you know, that's the field is theirs, right? They can do anything they want to the best of their ability, and they can leave that field and then have all that other good stuff, the singing on the buses and the playing music in the stands and all the things that go along with it, with their friends. And if we're able to achieve that, that's our goal for the students. And if we're able to assist the music education community in reaching their personal goals and professional goals, then, you know, there's not a better job on the planet as far as I'm concerned.
Wow, what a great way to end the show. Sean, thank you so much for the time today. We are looking forward to our new partnership at the NFHS. And just thank you so much for your time today.
You got it. Thank you, Ken. I appreciate it.
Awesome. All right. Well, for all of our listeners out there, please remember to subscribe to the show and share it with someone you think would be impacted by what was discussed today. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope to catch you next time on The Stage.